Welcome, Internet, to the Ranting After Dark podcast, also known as the Radcast. This is episode 12. I'm Elaine. I'm back. Look, a thing happened last week. It's okay, and I love those guys. They did a great job, but I am back, and it feels kind of nice. And I'm once again joined by my delightful, wonderful friend, Justin. Hey, girl.
I'm not sure that that accurately describes me, but okay, I'll roll with it.
Yeah, but you're like, hey, okay.
You've had a week off, clearly, you know, illness.
I'm tired. Yeah, I took life happened, and then life happened to other people. We were supposed to record this days ago. It was originally supposed to be one person and then a different person. And then you were like, hey, I don't sleep. Let's do a podcast. Sure. It's funny because I was looking through the show notes for this beforehand, and I'm like, no, he has to be on this one because we have to discuss what Burger King is doing right now. We have to talk about this. Do you guys have this Mac and Cheetos thing that they have created?
I mean, in Swindon, they don't have, which is where I live in Stanley, they don't have many Burger King outlets. They've got McDonald's everywhere. There's like about six of them. But to my knowledge, there was only one Burger King. There used to be one in the center of town, but it got shut down, I want to say 15 years ago.
Ouch.
For poor hygiene, like, you know, the rodent style poor hygiene.
I want to be surprised, right? I want to sit here and be shocked and fucking horrified that a Burger King got shot down because they had a rat problem, and yet I'm not.
So the one Burger King that's still open is next to the football stadium. So, you know, clearly there's a market there.
Yes, that seems reasonable. Yes. So here's what they've done. Okay. They took macaroni and cheese and deep fried it, which is not a new thing. Like, America does this. We do this with everything. It looks like it can be balled up and put in a fryer. We're going to do it. And then they shaped it like a Cheeto and coated it in Cheeto dust.
I can't.
Part of my body goes yes, and the other part of my body goes why. So I need it. I feel like if you have it, we have to have another angriest Whopper conversation. But I'm gonna go find it this week. We have, coincidentally enough, we have the same problem with Burger King around Philadelphia. There are two in Philly on opposite sides of the city. I'm in the middle of Philadelphia at work, and on the opposite sides there are Burger Kings, and nowhere in the middle. And then by my house, they're like in weird places that are kind of hard to get to. And now they're opening up a brand new Burger King by a Starbucks, and I'm very confused. Like, what? Really? Are you sure? So I'm going to drive in there and get Cheeto mac and cheese. I don't even know what to say about this thing. It comes in a little box. I don't know. I hate my insides, apparently, so I'm going to eat it. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, Justin, I have to talk to Justin about this. We have to discuss this.
It sounds all kinds of wrong. And you think what it does to your insides at the best of times.
Right,
and then you're Cheetos again.
My husband goes to me, he's like, you know, they're having 2 for $10 on Whopper meals right now. I'm like, Don, think about the words that you just said. Right? Like, yeah, let's go to the Burger King, get 2 for $10 Whopper meals and a box of mac and Cheetos. He's like, okay, yep. And then when you hear it all at once in one sentence, that sounds horrible for my colon. Yes.
See, sometimes I get the impression that Don would quite happily go to KFC and say, so I understand you do a bargain bucket.
Can I have the bucket o' chicken, please?
and what do I get for the family once I've got the bucket for me?
I'm going to need 2 buckets. Sir, how many people are you feeding? 4. It's me and other people.
It's like the argument that there is no such thing as a personal pizza, because any pizza is personal if you're determined enough.
You just try hard enough. That's my husband. So Don is like this healthy guy, but when he dips over the edge, he goes hard. Like hard. The one night he worked really late, had to be 6 months ago. I'm sitting up watching something stupid on YouTube. He rolls in at 9 o'clock holding a Burger King bag, which is when he makes his worst decisions, is when he's driving by a Burger King. It's kryptonite to that man. I have no idea why. I like follow him into the kitchen quietly and pour myself a drink because I have to watch this. He takes out two Whoppers, a chicken sandwich, and a large onion ring. And I just perch up on the counter.
Just the one onion ring.
Just one, but a large one. Okay. I perch up on the counter and I watch, and he inhales all of this food, and I timed it in 9 minutes. And then he goes to me, I think I need to lie down.
Yes. And I'm sure the dog is looking at him with big puppy dog eyes going, some for me.
He's sitting there with his feet, because Don insists on eating standing up. I don't know why. He's been sitting all day, so he does this sometimes. So the dog lays down on Don's feet. Just don't forget I'm down here, Dad.
The eyes looking up, sort of almost through the top of his head, yeah.
I looked at Jax, I'm like, you don't want to put that in your body, dude. And, like, you contemplate eating poop on a daily basis. You do not want to put that in your body. He gave the dog, like, maybe one bite of the Whopper. But he wakes up the next morning and he looks at me and he goes, I've made some bad choices yesterday.
You need to remind him that if he never learned from the words angry Whopper, that should have taught him that it's a bad place for him to be.
He shouldn't be allowed near a Burger King. Burger King is bad for Don. He has no self-control at a Burger King. I mean, I wonder if he could eat an entire bucket of KFC chicken now. I feel like I have some investigation to do for Extra Life. See if we can
make the thing that gets me about KFC is you have some people who love the skin. And some people who don't.
Wait, there's people who don't like the skin?
Yeah, because they find it too greasy.
Are they monsters?
They like to eat the chicken. It's a mind-blowing thing that they go to a Kentucky Fried Chicken chicken.
But you don't. If you want good chicken, you don't go to a KFC. You're going to a KFC for gluttony.
Oh, yeah.
Deep hatred of yourself, gluttony. I would order a bucket of just skins and eat them.
Do you have in your supermarkets? Do you have the rotisseries where they basically just have chickens and you see them slowly glazing as they go?
Yes.
And so it must be about 15, 20 years ago. Probably the third shop I worked in, we had a supermarket right opposite us. It was you open the door to our shop and there is the traffic lights. You go across the traffic lights and you were at the supermarket. It was perfect for you never need to worry about taking your lunch in because you just walk over and go, I'll have that freshly cooked chicken, please.
Oh my God.
A chicken for £3? Thank you.
I can eat an entire rotisserie chicken by myself. I can totally. The company I worked at before this one had a grocery store nearby, but there were no other restaurants. Like, it was kind of in a small town, area.
Yeah.
And it was very removed from anything that wasn't like a Wawa convenience store where you could get a sandwich. You get kind of tired of those after a while. I would routinely go and buy one of those rotisserie chickens and sit at my desk upstairs with a fork and a knife eating the entire chicken. And my boss would just come up and be like, why? Why not? It's delicious.
Because if I cook one of these at home, it takes 2.5 hours. If I go in there, it's there for me.
It's there. And they're like here, they're like $4. It's so cheap. And that's a lot of chicken. I don't understand. If you don't like the skin, don't go to the KFC. That's what you're going to KFC for. That's what I go to KFC for. I don't even remember what this podcast is supposed to be about anymore, but we made a lot of people super freaking hungry. Sorry, guys.
I'm just taking it back to some other castle roots of let's have 15 minutes of food chat.
Yeah. Or nonsense. Just nonsense. Are you actually playing video games? Have you been doing that?
I have spent a good 20 hours this past week playing video games and trying very hard to distract you into playing the same game.
I am very close. Your messages today. So you're playing Saints Row 4.
I am.
I really like it.
Re-elected, yes.
Yes. So you're playing the PS4 version, correct?
Yeah. I saw the double version that came with Get Out of Hell. I don't know, £10-15, something. Back when our currency was worth something. And
sorry. You sued the lab, I'm sorry.
yeah, too soon. But I can laugh. It's that's what it is. So I picked it up and I'd had it sealed along with several other games from the PlayStation for I'm gonna say 6 months. And when I finished playing whatever it was I been playing most recently, I thought, you know, you go through that stage where you play the same type of game for a while and you can't face it. You need something different.
Correct. Yes. And then there's the what decision.
Yeah. Like, and I kind of thought, well, I want to shoot dudes in the face. And I don't really want to play Grand Theft Auto because it's, whilst it does have some very good jokes in it, it tends to be quite serious with like how dark it is and particularly with Trevor. Saints Row, particularly with 3, was immensely self-aware and, you know, so ridiculous. So I remember you playing 4 back when you got you did an unboxing video. And,
That stupid collector's edition. It was so dumb. I played a lot of 4. In fact, I think there's a video on YouTube of 4 being played during an extra live stream where I antagonized people with my dude in underwear the whole time.
Do you still have the little turntable?
I have it's sitting up there looking at me. The dubstep gun is up there in my cabinet. It's so stupid. That game, Saints Row 3 was amazing, so 4 was an easy pickup personally. That game grabbed on to me as it's fun to play, and it's so stupid that it wraps back around to being brilliant, at least for me.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I think, you can be mistaken for saying that 4 basically is 3. It uses the same map, but...
It's spoilers. Cyber 3.
it's the Matrix, basically.
Yes. Yeah, it's weird.
Hence the DLC of Enter the Dominatrix.
Oh, that's such a good name. I have this version re-elected, but I only played Get Out of Hell. I haven't gone back and played Saints Row 4 yet, which I'm going to.
I haven't played that bit yet because obviously you opened the box expecting everything to be on the disc. Oh, no. No, there was a bit of paper which says, hey, look, here's a standalone DLC code for you.
I gave that thing the finger and said, I guess I'm playing you tomorrow.
I have not installed it, and I figured in several months when I, you know, want to fix and I don't want to go back through playing the same game again, I will. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah.
It's a fun bit of content. But so the version, the re-elected version comes with all the DLC they released. Right?
Yes.
Okay, that's
So you get a code for whatever one, something about raining frogs or something, I don't know. I
forget what that was called. They had 2 or 3. Were there 3?
On the disc, so pre-installed when I started playing, had the How the Saints Save Christmas and Enter the Dominatrix.
Those were both very good pieces of content.
And the fact that you, well, I know you're a fan of walking down to Kinsey and romancing her and just...
She's awesome.
It's like, hey, Kinsey, what the fuck?
And then she punches you in the face, right? And jumps on you. Am I correct about that animation? But it's set up in a Mass Effect style Normandy ship situation, too. That game is so trolly and self-aware. Did
you try and romance Benjamin Mother?
No.
She go, well, bearing in mind I'm playing with a female character, she goes down there and you know, the romance music comes on and it's all like, she gets all shy. It's like, there's something I want to ask you, but I don't know. He's like, hey, baby, if you don't ask, you don't get. Sometimes you just got to ask. And she's like, well, it will change the dynamic. We're professionals. He's like, nothing will change. We are professionals. And then she's like, can you sign my book for me? And that's it.
it's such a stupid game, right? But I love that game so much. Now I want to replay it. Oh, God, I can't do this. I might do this. Did you like it better than 3? Or did
I definitely think I preferred 3.
3 is the better game.
The fact that you're essentially Neo in this.
Yes.
Kind of makes it annoying when you have to actually get in a car.
I agree. It's not worth it. You don't need to.
The only times I really got in a car was when I was forced to, or when I was doing one of the, like, the virus missions where you've got to, like, kill so many waves of people. I just thought, sod it, call in a tank, sit in it and just shoot everything.
Yes. In 3, there was some compelling, like, my favorite mission in 3 is the one where you have to escort a tiger in your car.
Yes.
Someplace, and you're like yelling at it and it's trying to maul you the whole time. It's just so stupid and perfect. Three was a better video game. It was more fun. And it was, I would argue, it's probably better written, but four is still a delightful, like, divergent, like, experience from everything else. It still feels different and delightful. Yeah. I love that game.
And because it is kind of set in the Matrix or in the computer Steelport, it has glitches.
Yes.
That are obviously designed. And so the first time I'm playing it, and I'm thinking, why has this guy got really long arms?
Yes.
And yeah, why is this person just walking around and their head is two giant eyeballs? And then I realize, it's because we're hacking the system, and the more we hack, the more screwed up it is. And then you'd look at a car and it'd suddenly go all pixelated. And it's like, oh, it is getting annoying the further you get into the game, because it happens more and more.
I agree with that. And it's a little distracting in a way. It's distracting because you're constantly going, is this game broken? Or is this functioning as intended? But at least it's unique. I guess
you've got the Xbox version, haven't you?
I played it on 360 originally.
Right.
Yes.
Because PS4 has a touchpad, as you will know.
Oh no!
And when you start the game, it sort of says, "Do you want to use the touchpad?"
No, never.
So stupid persons go, "Yes, okay, then that must be a standard feature."
No.
And
no.
You know how you have those, like, wardens that come down?
Fuck those things. Yes.
Yeah. And you just freeze them and shoot them a few. Well, because you've got the get out of hell thing, you've got the president's gun. So you just whip that out and shoot every available rocket on the planet in their face.
So good.
And then it goes, okay, now press the RT trigger. Mm-hmm. And you jump in. And then it gives you the... Quickly swipe on the touchpad repeatedly in one way. Oh no, you're doing it the wrong way. I've changed now. Don't swipe right now. You've got to swipe left.
Oh,
now you've
got to swipe up.
And you don't know how to hold the pad and quickly wipe your finger left and right and over and over again.
You're like, that pad.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do that. That pad is like for like menu. I want to click in on that pad and get to a menu. That's where I fall on that thing.
But that's it. If you're like, you know, trying to stroke it, ladies, and you press down too hard.
Somehow again, this is just
pull
up
the menu.
Lesson.
It's you just the menu while you're trying to do the QuickTime event.
That's exactly what happens with women.
Is this
feather
tech support?
Feather it. Yeah, nope. Wait, I gotta go write a book.
Frequently asked questions include.
How hard do I press it before a menu pops up?
You're rubbing it the wrong way.
I want to know how much of that was the designers going, yeah, this is an appropriately Saints Row reference for this touchpad. Like,
you can also switch on voice commands.
Excuse me? What did you instruct it to do?
Well, it's in the menu screen saying that you can use your microphone to do voice commands. And I don't know what... I never tried, but presumably because this game came out when they were developing Kinect and, you know, commands with everything.
I'm going to have to, like, boot this thing up and find out what the hell that is. Now I need to know. Now I need to experience the joy that is this nonsense.
Do you have the PlayStation camera?
Yes.
There you go. Just switch that on and off you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, all right. I mean, I'll talk to the PS4. Like, why not? Right? I talk to the Xbox all the time. Okay. Sure. You know, it never works.
In the basement where you talk to the internet.
I'm just going to sit there on a live broadcast talking to my PS4 by myself all night. That seems reasonable, right?
As long as you don't utter the word Xbox and it suddenly thinks it's...
That has happened to me on a podcast where I've said the wrong sequence of words and that stupid device has been, you mean me? Put me in, coach. Let's do this. No. Simmer down.
I've listened to one podcast where they were using their Skype through their Xbox to record.
Really?
The podcast. One person's hosting the call, someone else Skyped in from his Xbox, and they obviously just kept trolling him and getting him to say the word.
Turn it on and off.
Like, no, awful. don't pull up the sidebar. It's
unsnap. It's the most, you say that with the most aggravation of any command. Like, it'll just do that. And you're like, fucking unsnap, you asshole. Like, all the time.
Speaking of the snap bar and everything, did they ever, like, fully integrate all the sports and TV and everything that they, back in the original E3 from 3 years ago, they made such a big deal about going, oh, yeah, you can be watching live TV and then have your, have a side menu going on and play a game while you're watching TV. And
I want
TV,
to see
TV, sports. That was all that E3 was.
I've never done it. I want to say that stuff did work at one point, but not well, because you had to constantly, like, redirect attention from one panel to the other to do stuff in it, like change the television or channel and stuff like that. And you would, so it was kind of a nightmare. And now that they're backing out of, like, the DVR functionality and everything, I think they're just going to quietly make all that go away. Like, no, just ignore that. Don't worry about it. No one connects their cable box to this. They probably do. I don't. But I was like, no, okay. If your interface is actually crappier than Comcast, we're good. I don't need to. That's impressive. I don't need to do this anymore. Let's see. What else have we got going on? I haven't been playing anything super exciting.
Well, you have. You've been playing the latest hotness.
So I started Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I played through the tutorial and one or two missions after that. And then stuff has been busy. I like that game, but I also find it infuriating.
So it's just like the first one then.
Correct. The timing on, like, some of the transitional moves and stuff like that and the wall run and stuff is kind of precise in a way that I don't want it to be and requires maybe a little bit more concentration for me than I desired at that moment, let's just say. So I will return to it. I do want to play it. I just needed not to be playing that game right then.
Does it still feel like it's, well, you can't call it an auto runner because obviously you're in control of it, but
correct. Yes.
You know what I'm trying to say? First one was basically a 3D version of it, and you got to turn, but generally speaking, yes, run and then jump and wall run and jump again.
Yes, it's that still. I mean, they haven't really changed the formula. They've changed the combat. They've removed your ability to use guns at all, and that was pretty terrible in the first one from what I recall.
Because you weren't supposed to use the guns.
You're not supposed to use them.
Finish it like I did.
No, did you actually finish it without using the guns at all?
I did not shoot a single gun in the entire game.
That's pretty good. I think I did. There were parts that felt like they wanted you to very badly, and so I did it.
Server room?
Yeah, if this is what you want from me, then fine. All right, but it never felt good. And this game, they haven't changed the formula. I mean, they made it quote-unquote open world in that there are missions you can take, there are places you can go, but you've still got runner's vision. It's still going to tell you a path through, even if that's not the most optimal path. And it becomes more about timing the button presses to execute the different moves than it does actually navigating the environment. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like playing Simon, the four-color game from when we were kids. You're really just pressing the right buttons in the right order in the right timing to get through the level. It's less about video games and more about movement. I don't hate it. I just maybe wanted a little bit more from it. And then again, I'm early. I played like the tutorial and one or two missions. So I'm going to revisit it when I'm in the state where I have the patience to deal with the preciseness of what it wants from me. So I turned that off that night and I was like, what do I actually want right now? I know what I want right now.
You want some Whoppers.
I want mac and Cheetos. No, what I want right now is to shoot demons in their stupid horror faces. So I booted Doom back up on Ultra Violence because why wouldn't I? So I played it on what was considered the default difficulty, Hurt Me Plenty. It's a way more fun game on Ultra Violence. It requires a little bit more combat planning when you enter encounters.
I've heard that the default difficulty kind of feels like, in some cases, any other game where you'll have an encounter, you finish it, and then you're like, okay, I'll just chill out until I decide to walk into the next area. Whereas
correct.
The next one is like, okay, now I've actually got running away is a valid option.
Yeah. And you know, there are places in Doom that are, Doom is a combat arena game, right? Walk into room, demonic presence is high, doors locked down, must kill everything. But on Ultraviolence, you are forced to approach that combat scenario where, like, you have to prioritize dealing with certain enemies. You're constantly moving. You need to be. You can't hide behind something and expect that to work out, because demons, hell demons, don't really play by rules that are normal, right? And it's more fun to engage with the enemies in Ultraviolence, because you are, like, you're planning it. You're like, okay, this guy needs, I need to put three shots in him with this gun, and then I'm gonna run in there and I'm gonna do the glory kill move, get some health back, and then I gotta back the hell out of there because that guy's coming at me. It's a lot more fun to sort of, I'm dying a lot more, and I'm looking at a combat scenario and going, okay, what's a better way to handle that? What's a better way to approach that room? And I think that's a lot more fun. That makes the game a lot more fun. It was already pretty fun because it's super stupid. It's fun. It's very self-aware in a lot of the same way that Saints Row is. Like, it's your demonic presence has reached unsafe levels. Excuse me? What the fuck is a safe level?
So what's the skeleton type demon that has rockets on its shoulders?
I think he's a revenant. I think okay. That's what those guys are called.
And dodgy dark back alley internet dealings may happen.
Hey girl, how you doing? Slide into my DMs with that business. We are the worst enablers in the universe. We are. I have all of the, they released a series of pop vinyl figures for Doom. I have all the different colors of the Space Marine now. I don't really want to talk about it.
I saw the blue one. Was it blue? Yeah, it was a blue one you picked up this week.
Yes. He's actually, oh God, he's all America colors. He's red, white, and blue. I almost didn't buy that one because of that, but I can't not. So there's,
you've got to complete the set.
Yeah,
I've come so far.
So there's green, which is the standard dude. There's red, there's white, there's red, white, and blue, and then there's gold, who's a bad bitch. I like that one a lot. And then they have a cyber demon, which I haven't been able to find yet, which I clearly need. So
yeah, well, so I sent you a random cryptic tweet.
As you were wont to do.
I want to say on Friday, because the game store in Swindon says, hey, we've still got some collector's editions of Doom, and that comes with that Revenant statue.
Yeah.
And it's only about £50. And I thought, well, that would include the game that I don't have that Elaine keeps trying to encourage me to play by talking about it so lovingly.
It's if you need a game where you just want to shoot dudes in the face satisfyingly, that's that game. It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And then my response was, and your response was, you know, the pound conversion rate is pretty good for you right now. And I was like, okay. And I told my husband about that. He's like, is it too soon for him to be making that joke? I'm like, yes, but still good.
I work in finance. I went into the office and the first thing we did at 8:30 on Friday morning was go, well, that went shit, didn't it?
Yes.
Hey, look, I'm trying to invoice someone in euros. I better hold on and do it at the end of the day, just in case I don't lose quite as much money.
Oh my God. Yeah, I laughed very hard at that. That was my favorite interaction of the whole week. So yeah, more Doom nonsense may be coming my way, and you may actually be able to play the game, which would be delightful. Mm. Besides Saints Row 4, have you played anything else?
Besides Saints Row 4, the only other thing I've been dipping my toes into is trying to learn how to play NBA 2K16. And I say trying to learn because I got pretty good at 14 and 15, and this one changed everything.
Did you play? Is this one the one with the stupid story mode?
Oh, the Spike Lee joint.
Is it the Spike Lee joint? Oh my God! Please tell me you played that. Nonsense.
Oh, of course I played through that. Yeah, it's all about frequency vibrations is the nickname of your character.
Oh my God!
And so the commentators can refer to you as a freak at. Your in-game Twitter handle is at freak freq.
Oh,
and God. You end up getting like signed up by some bigwig agent who's trying to get you the best deal, and you start going to college. But yeah, you can do 1 year at college and then quit college and come to go and play in the NBA because you can always go back to college if you break your leg or something, but you can't go.
back to the NBA. Like, what?
Yeah.
This is a good life lesson to be teaching kids.
Oh, but seriously, yeah. He has that argument with his parents. Like, his parents are going, we paid, like, his dad's one of these classic, I paid all my damn money for you to go to school, kid. Yeah. And the mum's going, now, dear, if it's what he wants, it's like, no, go to school. And
I'm so glad you played it.
Yeah, and you've got your inevitably bad influence friend who, when you get to the NBA, he gets banned from the locker room because you can't be seen with him.
I want to know what Spike Lee's life situation was, where he's like, I could write this into a movie, or I could put it in NBA 2K16. Like,
it starts off with a couple of people in, you know, the motion capture suits, sat on a couch with cameras strapped to their faces.
No,
so it can map their facial characteristics. And then he just kind of casually walks onto set and goes, hey, you're about to watch my show.
What?
Part of this interactive thing. And
what?
Oh, yeah. Proper. He, like, introduces it.
I didn't think I gave a shit about this, but now I have to see this train wreck. Like, I might have to boot this game up.
You don't have to do that. I'm sure it's on, you know, it's on the YouTubes.
On the YouTubes. Yeah, maybe I need to watch this on the YouTubes.
But yeah, he does a full introduction. And then, obviously, you play three games in your high school. Then you play eight games in college. And then you go on to NBA at that point, and you do your first... No, it must be three, then five, then eight games in the NBA.
I cannot believe that they somehow decided that this would be a good thing to put in their video game. Like, it's blowing my mind.
But not only that, they've also got NBA stars to interact with your character. So, for example, I had James Harden and Steph Curry both, like, having one-to-one chats with my character going, hey, yeah, we're going to beat you, and my character is sassing back going, that'll be the only chance you'll get all season. You know, and
oh, my God.
These people have bought into this.
I love that this is a thing that's happened. I really do.
But you have to go through that if you want to develop your own character. It's not an optional story mode. It is the single player. And you have to go through, effectively 2-3 years of that before you then go, okay, you can now play 82 games a season if you want.
With your own character.
With the character you've just spent several years doing his backstory, yeah.
You know when you don't have words that are right, you don't know what to say? This is
why I say I'm finding it harder, because like on 14 and 15, when you created your own character, you somewhat spec'd it as you wanted.
Right.
But everything is about money in this game. So when you go training, all that happens is it gives you virtual currency.
Okay.
And then you have to buy a new ability point with the currency.
What?
So if you perform well in a game, you get more currency. And then when you negotiate your salary, you get more currency. And yeah, you just constantly spend in the coins to get better. So you start off like a, you know, well, a not very good basketball player.
No, really? But, video games.
And I found previously, in previous iterations, all you did was put it on like a 48-minute game, because you get subbed off. So, you know, what you don't want to do is only put on like 3-minute quarters.
Right.
Because if you're only playing 10 to 15% of that 6-minute half, you're not going to get very much opportunity to impress and get more bucks.
God, this design is hurting me. Like, this is counter to all sports video games before this.
No, the FIFA games did this for the football.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, certainly 14, I think I had, and they did this. So that one was even easier to rig. You only had to, like, do a long game for a couple of games, and then you were sorted. Because it gave you this, like, skills book, and it would say, do this weird button combination to pull off, you know, like an overhead kick or something like that. And if you did it, it then gave you a tick, and you got some attribute points. So all you did was you try to get all the ones, like, you know, do 20 complete passes in a game. You do all that in one game. and it cumulatively goes, here's a ton of points. And then you go, cool, yes. I'll just put the slider back down again, and now I can play.
I see.
Like, oh yeah, you're only going to be on the court for 6 minutes. And in that time, you've got to impress everyone. You've got to... Oh, you were 20 points behind when you went on court. Yeah, we're going to give your coach's target of drop the deficit to 5 points in 6 minutes.
Sure, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, nope.
And we'll rank you on your ability to do it.
Oh, my God.
I found the only way to get points in this is to basically just constantly do screens. Just go up, stand next to someone and block them. And it'll just keep giving you points, ticking away, going, good screen, good screen, good screen.
Just like real life. Just going to start running up to people in the subway and screening them and see if I get real.
I'm just going to stand there with my hands across my balls and just waiting that they turn and bump into me.
My favorite part about the screens is the ball protection bit. Like, I'm not touching them. I'm just grabbing my own parts. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, I mean, I had to mention that. Carolyn did say, mention balls in my honor.
I mean, how could we not, though? Balls are hilarious. They remain hilarious to me.
And she sent a picture of what looks like the Last Supper with someone superimposed cleaning his bowling ball.
I love you, C. I'm a girl. Oh, boy. I enjoy that you played this game because I needed someone I actually knew in real life to have played this Spike Lee joint. That is, I needed to know. I had to know. Now I'm going to YouTube. Now I have to know.
Yeah, and it's a full story. Yeah, you
let's put story in loose quotation marks. I'm pretty sure a movie has been made that was this story already. Like, I'm sure this was the plot to another Spike Lee joint, right?
Well, you have your sister who is effectively your manager because you're twins. Oh yeah, so you've got your 6'6" or whatever start height you've set him guy, and then you've got his short sister.
Totally makes sense. That's how genetics work.
And they're, well, does when they're not non-identical. But
that would be weird.
Then you have his girlfriend that just spontaneously appears when he starts getting good.
Of course.
And obviously, your twin sister and your girlfriend have massive fights. And
those bitches don't get along for real?
No. And he totally throws his toys out of the pram. He's like, bitches, shut up. It's like, you hate you. I don't care because you've all got to get along. You're on Team Freak and you do it my way.
You're on Team Freak. I'm going to start walking into rooms at work. Bitches, shut up. You're on Team Freak. This train ain't stopping. And then just walk out. That's good writing right there. Thanks, Spike Lee. High five, bro. I don't. Oh boy, that's like an 80s basketball movie. That's what it feels like.
I mean, it comes off like that. It's as if White Men Can't Jump was made by Spike Lee and condensed into a 10-minute video, but just spread out across 20 hours of in-game content.
White Men Can't Jump is literally the movie that's been floating around in my head this entire conversation. I just need to watch that now, I think.
But see, that's a good film.
That is a good film. I love that movie. It's a really good movie.
Even if Rosie Perez does get on your nerves.
I want to punch her about halfway through that film.
On Jeopardy!
Oh, God! All right. With that, I guess we can talk about the news. That seems like a good time. Let's do some quick hits, and then we'll talk about the nonsense of the week. All right, a couple of them. Rhythm Heaven Megamix is out now for the 3DS. That was a weird one. Nintendo never does this. They just said during E3, hey, you guys want some more Rhythm Heaven? Buy it right now. Go to the eShop and get it. I love Rhythm Heaven. I should probably get that. I should probably make that happen. Let's see. Nioh, that's the kind of... I don't know how to describe Nioh. There's a new trailer and apparently another demo is coming in August. I'm interested in that game. I want to play it. So I'm like, okay, give me a trailer. Explain to me what you actually are, video game. Please.
You get that less and less these days.
Yeah, I know. They really enjoy
as we proved with the story mode in a basketball game.
I can't. Not just a story mode, dude. A story mode written by the Spike Lee. I have no words. Speaking of having no words, did you play Bulletstorm?
I did.
I loved Bulletstorm. Against the better part of my judgment in life. Apparently, there's there might be a remaster of that video game coming based on some E3 screenshots that have crept out. Would you play it again if they remastered it?
Well, I didn't pay for the first version I played, so...
So, yes!
I would promo copy, and then several months later, they gave it away on PS Plus.
Yes, but, they did.
Yeah, it's memorable because it's the Duke Nukem game we didn't get.
Yes!
And it has brilliant lines like, I'm going to shoot you in the dick.
I can't.
No, it's I'm going to kill your dick, isn't it?
I'm going to kill your dick. I'm going to kill all your dicks. I love that game. That game is super stupid. But the mechanics of playing that game a lot like Saints Row are very fun. That the whole thing, I would play this again. It's been long enough. I need a reminder.
Yeah, and the I don't know if you ever played any of the multiplayer bit, but it
I
was
didn't.
Okay. So I played quite a bit, and it's actually responsible for getting me on Lasso Bloated. But
wow,
because that's how I met Joey.
Oh, nice.
He put out a tweet saying, "I've got this game. Does anyone want to give it a go on the multiplayer?" And I said, "Yeah, okay."
Sure.
And then after a couple of games of that, he was like, "Okay, do you want to come on my podcast?"
Anyway, come talk to me.
It's a horde mode environment.
Oh, where you're saying words I like.
So you have waves to survive.
Okay.
And you get bonus points for style kills, which include things like, you know, throwing people into Venus flytraps or putting them in mincers or a big electrical whirlwind tornado. But you get even more points for doing team style points. So for example, one of you whips the guy and so that he hovers in the air, and the other one comes along and kicks him, and then you get tag team points.
And I need this to come intact into this remaster, so Gears of War is what made me appreciate a good horde mode.
Yeah.
I need to play it with those mechanics. That sounds like a blast. I need this in my
life. Was really good fun, and especially when you get the thumper and you start, you know, slamming things down into the ground and then watching it all shoot up in the air,
so
and then
satisfying.
You both whoever's on your team just suddenly everyone looks up in the air and tries to shoot these things out of the air. It's
That's
great.
So good. All right, I'm in for that. If this gets remastered, I totally want to play that.
I'd like to see it remastered with perhaps extra horde mode type bits, because
yeah.
It wouldn't
yes.
be too hard for them to do that.
No, I agree with you. Some more maps or some more, like, that would be great. I think that that's the kind of, and I really do think that's a version of multiplayer that a lot of people enjoy these days. We all, like, I like competitive multiplayer occasionally. Like, I like Overwatch. Every once in a while, a game will click with me and I'll enjoy that. But I also, horde mode is, like, fun. You're all on the same team. No one's screaming, you know, fuck your mom at you. It's a delightful experience. Well, at least most of my friends aren't.
I was going to say, I mean, it could be arranged.
Next time I play games with Justin, he's just going to start screaming, fuck your mom, every 15 minutes.
I'm going to find some sort of like MP3 of some kid screaming it. And then just
10-year-old kid.
Microphone.
Oh my God. Anyway, it's nice to be on the same team. And I think in games like Bulletstorm, the way the combat mechanics are, it's hard to pit player versus player in that scenario with the whip and everything.
Yeah.
That's very smart. Let's see what's next. Indigo Prophecy. I think it's Fahrenheit for you. Is the name of the game, right? It sounds like it's coming to the PlayStation 4 in July. I'm not sure if it's a remaster or just like a digital version. I never played this game, and I kind of want to.
I never played it, but I was around someone's house when, I don't know if it was the demo or if it had just come out, but I remember watching him play a bit on a PC where he was in like a, I want to say it was in a restaurant.
The diner. The diner bit was a demo, I think.
Okay, so he was playing that. Yeah, and you like find pools of blood. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a David Cage game, right? Like it's lauded as one of his better games. I mean, look, Heavy Rain was a little rough. Jason?
It remains to be seen what that Detroit human thing is going to be like as well.
That got my husband's attention. Like every once in a while, a game trailer will get his attention during one of those press conferences. If he happens to be around while I was watching it, and he's like, oh, I kind of like the idea that it plays out differently depending on what you know. And I'm like, well, let me introduce you to David Cage.
As long, but the one thing I want to not see about that game, though, is I want to know that it's not just 50,000 different combinations of you're on a roof and there's a guy with a hostage.
Yeah, I want, apparently by what I've read from people who have talked to folks, is that that is just one situation that that game presents to you. But I agree with you. I hope it's not just the crime scene investigation over and over and talking somebody down off the roof, because I don't want to play that game over and over. Right. I want a bunch of different scenarios in that world.
And we don't want any of the cop guy from Heavy Rain going into his little virtual desktop environment.
That was painful to me.
While he's on drugs and trying to decide if he's going to have more drugs or not.
It was just like the Minority Report druggy high. It was a weird thing. I wanted to like that game way more than I did. I want to play Indigo Prophecy because many people have said that if those were the problems I had with Heavy Rain, Indigo Prophecy felt better in those ways. Yeah. If it's a decent version of that game and it runs well, I'll play it. Like, hell,
you
why not?
Liked Beyond, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I think that the acting was pretty good in Beyond Two Souls, so it was kind of easier for me to... And I didn't hate Heavy Rain when I played it. I just don't look back on it with fondness.
Yeah, I did the thing of, I played it once. Right. I rented it from Blockbuster when they still existed.
Wow.
I played it once and decided, okay, I'd never want to play this game again, because the whole point of that play style was it is a unique story for you. Now, whether you like that or not, and whether you like David Cage or not, that didn't detract from the point of it's your experience.
I agree with that. Like, I don't want to save scum games like that. Like, I went through that game one time. I think I own a copy of it still. I've been through it once because that was it. I played it the way that I played it. And I felt like the story was closed. Like, if it had been a movie that I was watching, that's the way it was. And it's over now. So yeah, I did it the exact same thing. And those games are kind of unique and they don't come along very frequently. So getting the opportunity to play Indigo Prophecy is like, ooh, another one of these. But it's like a choose your own adventure and then it's over. And I don't feel like, I feel no pull to play it again to see how it plays out. I'm like, no, we're done.
The only reason I would play it again, like if I bought the PS4 double pack, because I haven't played Beyond, but if I did play it again, I would be trying to do the perfect murder.
Yes. Yeah.
Because now that I know you can do it.
Yes. Well, it's like,
I'd be intrigued.
Did you play through Until Dawn? You haven't played that, have you?
No.
It's the same kind of idea, except, you know, teenage horror nonsense. I found out that you can play that game without anybody dying, and now I really want to see how that sequence of events has to play out, too. I played that game exactly once with my husband, so I'm kind of curious. That's one, same deal. Yeah.
I'll be actively trying to kill as many people as I could, because teenagers...
Horny
teenagers.
I'm not going to lie to you. I had a moment where I wondered how many I could get murdered, because fuck all those characters. Yes. I think that's possible, and now I kind of want to play it that way. That's better. That's way better.
And not because we're bad people.
But because fuck teenagers. Like, they're just... teenagers in B, like, rated horror movies are awful. They're awful. Ugh. Speaking of shit that's awful, that's perfect. Thanks, teenagers. Mighty Number 9 is finally out. And
it's a rapturous tumbleweed.
It's apparently kind of a nightmare. So the game itself, I think Karf is actually playing it. I want to say he was a backer. So it was a Kickstarter for those people who have it, who've been living under some proverbial video game rock. It was a Kickstarter by, you know, one of the creator of Mega Man, to create essentially another Mega Man game. And everybody's like, ooh, I like Mega Man. That's sure.
It was touted as being more of a return to the original Mega Man style, because they've had so many different variations and iterations. So there's been all this, like, Mega Man X and then Battle Network. And
oh, wow, those were weird. Yeah. And then there was all kinds of nonsense. I agree. So it was like, I'm gonna make a Mega Man game. It's not a Mega Man game. So it got kickstarted. It raised a bunch of money on Kickstarter because people like Mega Man. It's a franchise that Capcom has always kind of held up as, you know. And it incurred a bunch of delays over time, and it finally released to probably the mediocrest of reviews. So I was reading Karf's. He tweeted about it. He's like, the combat is fine, I guess. The levels are just boring. And that's probably the best praise I've seen for this game so far.
I saw a video where they showed the demo level, that was, I think they put together a video for the, presumably for the Kickstarter to get funding, and it was all, you know, depth in backgrounds and bright colors and everything. And then they showed the level in the game where it was like, well, yeah, we, you know, all that detail in the background. Yeah, we won't do the detail in the background.
Yes.
No, bright. No, we can't be bothered to do bright colors either, really. And it just looked boring.
It's boring. Like, to look at it, it's a bummer because you wanted it to be visually exciting. I haven't played it yet. If it hits like a cheap sub $5 price, I would totally pick it up just to experience it. I do this with games that people don't like because I'm kind of curious about them. Aliens, Colonial Marines. Oh boy, that still hurts. But yeah, it's getting, and the launch was a mess. They were emailing people the wrong codes and codes that didn't work. And then the creator goes and says, "Hey, look, guys, Mighty Number 9, it's better than nothing." to which an account on Twitter called Sonic the Hedgehog, which is verified, so it's the official Sonic the Hedgehog, he's got the fucking blue check. They post this delightful picture of a very sarcastic looking Sonic with his hands up, like shrugging. And the tweet is, "Congrats on the launch, Mighty Number 9. It's better than nothing." Fucking wow. Like, just talk about a game that was held on a pedestal and has just sunken to the lowest of. You're getting trolled by Sonic the Hedgehog. Ask yourself when the last good Sonic game was. Think about it. I'll wait. That racing game. They did. That was the last good Sonic game. And you're getting trolled by a hedgehog. Oh boy.
But they with it being Sonic's 25th anniversary,
yes,
at the moment, I believe that, well, there's obviously the Humble Sonic bundle.
Yes, there is.
I believe they're trying to come up with an idea to make Sonic good again.
I was going
to
say make Sonic great again.
The quote I heard. They want to make Sonic playable, and because it went off the rails.
Look, when you made the hedgehog have a human girlfriend, I started to have fucking problems with the hedgehog.
And turned it into a werewolf.
It's all wrong!
And have a loading screen every 10 seconds. Sonic 2006?
I feel like I need to buy that Sonic bundle because I can probably get all those games for like $4 and just stream nothing but those games for like until I snap and I can't do it anymore. Yep. Well, then I have an idea for a future stream. Shit. All right. Let's move on to happier news because those things hurt my soul. We've seen a bunch of footage of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild from E3. They streamed a bunch of that game. And it's an open world Zelda game. I mean, the original Zelda was open world in the NES terms. You know,
but you didn't have to go and do your own cooking.
No, or put on clothes because you were shivering. I am doing a naked run of this game. I'm saying it right now. Motherfucker's going to be naked the whole time. I'm going to try very hard.
I would just like to point out, I haven't played a Zelda game since they stopped him wearing green outfits.
Oh, you don't like the... Okay. Did you play...
I haven't played Skyward Sword.
Okay.
Neither have I. I'm not going to play this.
Because you're just offended by... Well, wait. In Ocarina of Time, his outfit color changed.
Yes, but that's because you put on a red one to go into the fire area and a blue one to go underwater.
You still had the green. Okay, all right. Wind Waker was the same way. He had the iconic outfit. Okay, all right.
Yeah, he gets given it. He gets gets the hero's clothes given to him by his grandma.
It's such a good game. So open world Zelda game. Okay. Apparently, the way that Nintendo is making this happen on both Wii U and NX is that they've got the Xenoblade team. They call those guys up. They're like, "Hey guys, we heard you knew how to make a ridiculous open world game. Can you help us? We're scared. We don't know how to do this with The Legend of Zelda anymore." So that's I sent that link to Carolyn and her response was just "Ooh." So that's going to ruin her life. That's kind of exciting.
There might also be a certain point of, we've been developing this for several years.
Forever.
And all we keep saying is, well, it's coming.
We're gonna,
and then we go to E3, and we're gonna show you that it does exist,
and it's playable.
But it was still And it's playable. Did you see the video of how long the line was?
Yes. I mean, bananas. I don't get it. Like, it's going to still feel like a Zelda game in a certain sense, right? It's different. And they streamed a bunch of you know, their Treehouse folks playing that game. I don't need to handle it myself, but dude, don't those people have anything else to go play? Don't you have appointments?
I'm sorry to say that I was bored watching the stream.
How long has it been, though, for you? Because I'm excited about Zelda, but how long has it been for you since a Zelda kind of pushed the right buttons? Like,
Well, I mean, when we did our Ocarina of Time gamecast on Last Overloaded, I went back and played Master Quest.
Wow.
Because I wanted to punish myself.
Do you hate yourself? I never finished that. That thing is so fucking infuriating.
No, this is because, you know me, I like to know everything about a game. We talked about Mass Effect. Yeah, I'm going to play all of three Mass Effects back to back to back. I'm going to platinum them all, and I'm going to do all the DLC as well.
You're a masochist. I mean, you are. You hate yourself and want to see how much it's going to take for you to hate video games and never play them again. Yes, I know this about you. I know that you're like this. So you played Master Quest. That broke it. You can never play another Zelda game again, can you?
Do you know, the Water Temple felt a lot easier. Because it doesn't make any sense in the normal game.
Jesus, fuck that Water Temple. Like, I played that game when it came out in my friend's basement. And we stayed up all night trying to figure that stupid thing out. This was before the internet, okay?
Yeah,
my day.
Good at physics. And, you know, you should be able to understand, put the water at that level, put the water at this level.
If it made
Wear
sense.
Wear boots to go down to the bottom floor and then take them off and hover a little bit and then put them back on.
That actually makes me angry thinking about it all over again. I think that was the moment where I was like, fuck all water levels. All of them. They're always bad. I can see like looking at this Zelda game and going, nah, nah, meh. Because there are games out there that have done the open world thing in a more compelling way. Like in a more alive way. This is going to be a Zelda game that has a bigger world. I'm okay with that. I'm into it. But I can see why you might not be. 100%.
Well, yeah, but the random battles as well. Oh, look, I'm just walking along and something just came out the floor.
See, I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. There's nothing more infuriating to me. We're going to see. I'm going to buy this because I feel a certain sense of, like, I've played almost every Zelda game. I haven't played Skyward Sword. I own it, though. I just didn't get to it.
I do like the fact that you can burn the grass now.
Is it like Far Cry? Can I set the whole world ablaze?
You can get one of your sticks out, put it in a fire, and then throw it and watch a fire set alight where it lands.
If this game has a sequence in which Link gets a quest to go burn down a pot field and Skrillex starts to play, I'm fucking in. I've
still not played Far Cry 3 yet, because obviously I've not played Far Cry 2 yet.
For that, you just hate yourself so much. For that one mission alone, Far Cry 3 is one of my favorite games ever. If this game
I've played that mission, though.
It's so good. If this game has a nod to that, I'm 100% it. Maybe it doesn't need to be Skrillex. You're Dead Mouse. It'll be fine. I want to play. I am into this Zelda game, but I'm kind of glad I have to wait for it for a little bit because I have a bunch of other shit to play. I'm not in the mood for it right now.
And you have to get hold of a Wii U copy. Because,
yeah, it's going to be super rare. I'm going to buy both of that. I regret not doing that with Twilight Princess, deeply. I own which version do I own of that?
You probably have a Wii version.
I have a Wii copy because it was easier to find. It was impossible to find the GameCube version. All right, let's see what else do we have. So Sony's not new to these class action lawsuits. Apparently a whole bunch of PS3 owners got together and sued them because they removed the other OS feature that allowed people to load Linux.
Is this a new lawsuit, or is this still the...
I want to say this is ongoing. Yeah, I want to say this one's been there for a while. So they finally settled that out, and they're going to pay people out. The class action lawsuit group won. It was a 6-year dispute. This has been going on for 6 years. Apparently people were pretty pissed about this thing. to have to, you know, to fight with Sony in court over it. Apparently, if you can prove that you had the OS loaded on your box, you get $55. If you can claim that you intended to use the functionality at some point, they will give you $9. Where did that number come from? Oh, yeah, I was going to load Linux onto my PS3. Here's $9. I'll gonna go buy some mac and Cheetos from the Burger King. Like, but, and where did they get $55? Okay, I don't know what they mean about, like, proving that you had the OS. I hope you grabbed a screenshot or still have the device. Who knows? But I found it fascinating that a 6-year legal battle ended up in a $9 payout if you might have thought about once using the other OS feature of your PS3.
Was that not $9 per person, though?
Yes, per person who claims it, right? Yeah. So most people aren't even going to know. Like, I never actually used the other OS feature, but I worked in a lab where we did on a number of PS3s because the cell cores in these things for data computation purposes are actually, like, powerful, and you can...
Well, they did a... There was actually an app when you got it originally that was, like, folding at home.
Yes, they were using it. Yes.
Research.
It was for protein folding. Like, protein folding is really complex, like, 3D calculation. So they were using people's PS3s to do some of this and then pulling the data back. And we, a lot of researchers at the time, bought a bunch of PS3s and loaded Linux onto them specifically for the purpose of doing these, like, high level calculations for on a $400 box. This would normally have taken a huge server to make it go. And actually, when you put Linux on it, it was pretty easy to write scripts to do what you wanted to do. I never did it myself. I thought about it. I'll admit to thinking about loading it. I $9 thought about it, probably. I will claim that I thought about it and see how they make me prove that. I will go through this process for science.
For science and for the podcast.
I'm going to have to show, like, a notebook from, like, OS, Linux on PS3,
Just have a little penguin avatar somewhere and then say, look, clearly I'm a Linux user.
I love Linux. I know all about the Linux.
I even had it on the PS2.
Oh, no, it's so bad. I found this fascinating. I'm going to go through this process just to see, like, how they're going to, what they're going to ask me for my $9. I don't know. Let's see what else we've got. People are still playing Doom 2. People are still creating WADs for Doom 2. Someone went through and created Seinfeld's apartment in Doom 2.
Is it complete with heavy bass soundtrack?
I don't know. I'm going to download this thing because I have a version of Doom 2 that I want to drop this into. I need to see this for myself.
I still have the Doom 2 CD-ROM.
Do you really? It came out on a CD-ROM?
It did. I remember being underage and getting my mother to buy it for me, and it was the first 18 that she bought for me.
Wow, you heathen. You know, it's weird. My mother never let me play Mortal Kombat, but she would let me play the Doom.
That's because you were shooting aliens.
I think she really felt like I was cleansing the world from the hellfire. I don't know. There's got to be an Italian Catholic justification for this, but I'm going to download this WAD. I love saying WAD. I can't. It's such a disgusting word that's been turned into an acronym here. WAD is gross. WAD for me is like moist for other people.
Yeah, but WAD over here is like you say you have wads of cash.
Yeah, we say that too. But when I think WAD, I think like a crumpled up tissue that's got grossness inside of it.
Oh, yeah, okay. In that case.
Yeah, there it is.
I can see where you're coming from.
You see how I'm like, no, I'm not comfortable with this at all. We talked about Burger King's mac and Cheetos. I'm going to eat them. Let's see, what else do we have? We have these are you. I'm going to let you take these.
Okay. So the Assassin's Creed creator... Or is it the or a? Hang on, 1 second. I need to open this.
We've done our research.
I've read it about six times.
No, this is the dude, man. This is Patrice. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So the Assassin's Creed creator has confirmed he has not played a Ubisoft game in 4 years.
Since
he played 2 hours of Assassin's Creed 3 And he was all like, nope, that's it. I can't do any more. You get out of my life.
Me too, bro. Me too.
Yeah, see, that was a game that I finished. Game.
That one.
I obviously I had to finish that.
Well, once you've started
I had to see if it got any better. Spoilers, it didn't. No.
I Googled that. Does Assassin's Creed 3 get any better? Literal Google thing I probably put in. No. Yeah. Cool. We're done. Fuck that guy. Somehow I'm not surprised. If you've played one of them in the last 4 years, you've played all of them in a certain sense. Like, Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, not actually that different anymore.
And Watch Dogs.
And watch underscore dogs, excuse me. And even the Division, like, they're not different. They're all the same game.
But he went on and he said, with all due respect, I love Ubisoft very much, but I cannot see their logo on my TV screen. It feels too personal. This is my flaw. I'm too personal. No, it's your flaw because you made Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I like the newer ones. But yeah, like he had a bad falling out with Ubisoft, and that was all bad. I kind of enjoy that, like, the logo makes him go, fuck this, and walk out of a room. Like, I feel like I would just...
Swirl. It's like, it's all going down the toilet.
That swirl just taunts him. If I was married to him or lived with him, I would troll him every day in a new way by putting the logo in a new place. Like, he lifts up the toilet bowl to go pee, Ubisoft logo. God,
did you ever play the Turtles in Time remastered? Turtles in Time reshelled.
Reshelled? I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And they use the Ubisoft, quite literally use the logo as a going down the toilet there, don't they? It's like a vortex that all the turtles fall down.
And it's, yep. And it feels so accurate. I hated that remake. Yeah. I would, like I said, I would troll this guy all the time. I would put it at, like, I would put it on the bottom of the cereal bowls so that when he put one out and went to pour his cereal in it, he would just be looking at the logo. I'm super mean. I would torture him. And I, you know, that's terrible. I'm a bad person. What? Hey, Justin, what's Valve up to?
Valve are really, really... They've heard about this thing called VR. So they've gone and stuck a third of their staff on working on projects for VR or virtual reality and augmented reality.
How many times do you think you walk down the off, like a hallway at Valve, and look over and there's a dude in a headset looking confused? Like, just...
Yeah, and he's just the one that's going, no, Portal 3 and Half-Life 3 will exist one day.
Yeah, they've just got a tester in the room with the logos swimming by him all the time, and he's got to run and try to catch him. If you catch him, you get to play a demo for the game. Go! Get him! Get him! I can't... What's their staff size at these days? Is it that big of a company?
Well, they've got... more than 100 are working on...
Okay, so they have a staff of 100 people?
Yeah, Kotaku estimate is 300 to 350 people working at Valve.
So, like, 120 people, up to 120 people could potentially be working on VR games for them. Anytime you're ready, guys. They could jump. They probably use some experiences that are not porn. Just saying. Anytime you're ready. That's crazy to me. I don't know. I want to play with VR. I just don't. I'm not ready yet. We're good for now.
You just don't trust the fact that you can't try a unit that won't have been tried by someone else.
That's the problem. I can't put my face in a thing that someone else's face has been in. You take
you
that
out. You can't
of
put your face in someone else's unit. Yep, I said that.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to...
And that's what you did.
Oh, I feel so filthy now. Just like more than usual. I usually feel pretty gross. That was a gross one. That's disgusting. Like,
You want a wad?
I want a wad. See? That word is disgusting. Every time I see one of those VR headsets, like, at a kiosk or something, I have this intense desire to pour a bottle of Lysol over top of it. Just, I don't know where that's been. Don't touch that. So, this last story is good. So No Man's Sky is a game that's coming out in August. It was supposed to come out last week. This past week.
We were supposed to be playing it now.
I was supposed to be playing it right now. I don't even know what that game is yet. I know I want to be playing it, right? So there was a delay. Everybody got pissed about it. The more interesting story here is an ongoing quiet lawsuit that's been happening
for several years.
quietly with Sky TV. That's a company on your end.
That is the main satellite television provider over here. So we have Virgin Media and we have Sky TV.
Okay.
So Sky TV is the one that you have to watch Sky Atlantic to watch Game of Thrones.
Got
live.
It. So well, it's your Comcast.
Not live, but simulcast.
It's your Comcast. It's, yeah, you know, it's your version of the evil empire that owns the TV land.
And so they're the, if you want to watch any sport, you've pretty much got to get Sky. You know, they have all of the sports.
They also have determined that they own the word Sky and all of its uses in the English language. This is not the first person they have sued over the use of a word. So they sued, no, they weren't going to allow them to use the word Sky in the title of their video game. They also, back a while ago when Microsoft first launched OneDrive, their Dropbox-esque service, it was called SkyDrive.
It was called SkyDrive, yeah.
And they got sued by this company and they won. That's really stupid. Like, that word is...
But see, that's understandable. Because Sky TV, well, Sky Media, I have a Sky account. So they supply my television. They also supply me with a shitty 2 meg broadband because it comes down the phone line.
Yep.
And that means that, if it has data caps and everything.
Ugh.
I pay another £30 a month on top of that to have fiber optic through Virgin Media.
Okay.
And most people would be saying to me, well, Justin, what, if you're having Virgin Media for your cable, why don't you just go for the full package and get the TV from them? Oh, because then I don't get Sky Atlantic to watch Game of Thrones.
And do you not have the option to do a la carte HBO?
No. Nope.
Can you do that? Okay. What a shit show. It's just as bad as over here. I'm not as surprised by the SkyDrive thing because I'm sure Sky TV owns some product that's closely named something that's like SkyDrive. But. Yeah. This is absurd. I cannot name my video game No Man's Sky because you own that word.
Well, stranger things have happened. Don't forget Scrolls.
Oh my God. And that
Saga.
Oh,
you
know,
when you think about it, the evidence has been there that companies are dumb, yo.
The precedent of stupidity has been set over time. It turns out these defined folks who make No Man's Sky won this lawsuit. I wonder if this is why part of the reason for the delay.
I must admit, when I heard the news, the first thing I thought was, is this the reason it got delayed? Almost definitely, because they announced the result last week. It was
last week.
I'd been on the last recording.
Yes, it was like the beginning. It was like 2 or 3 days before they originally set to launch the game. And the first thing I thought when I read this story was, oh man, they said it was for tuning issues, but you don't tune a game in 2 months. You got to go gold at some point and press discs. Yeah. I wonder if this was it.
Yeah, so I was thinking either you've pressed the disc or you've not finished producing the game because you may have to remove the title screen.
Yes.
Modify it in some way. No, okay, you could do a day one patch, but there may have been a clause in any settlement that said if you did have to get rid of it, you would have to get rid of all traces rather than just, yes, let's patch that out.
Correct.
Although it's an online-only game, so I guess they probably could have done a day one patch. But
they probably just didn't want to take the risk of the extra expense of generating a patch at the last second. You know what I mean? But I'm sure that we also live in a world of day one patches, like you said, so there could still be like game tuning issues happening here. Because you can technically work on the game up to launch and then day one patch it. But I bet you some of it had to do with them not wanting to launch their game, having their lose their lawsuit, and then have to do another patch.
Yeah.
So, this is the dumbest fucking thing, though. No, we are Sky TV. We own all... Does that mean... Are they Skynet?
I think that... And I could be wrong, so I am going to go and check this, but I think it's a Rupert Murdoch Enterprise.
I wouldn't be surprised by this information at all. I'm wondering if they're the ones who are praying to our robot overlords. Are they Skynet? Are they going to sue Skynet for owning their name? I wonder. The future is dark.
Oh, okay. It used to be, but he has left it.
Because it's that evil.
He left a couple of years ago.
It's become sentient. It's actually just a bunch of robots. You should really watch yourself over there. This is how it begins. All right, that's our news. There's a lot of it, and it's all, there's a lot of nonsense. I enjoy the nonsense. Speaking of nonsense, I'm going to read some listener mails. We have a few. Including one from one of my favorite people, Wheelchair Ninja, which I will read last. Mm-hmm. If you want to send us nonsense, it is radcast@someothercastle.com, or you can tweet us someothercastle. I enjoy short form and long form questions. I like them all, girl. Let's see. Let's do emails first. Justin Knowles. This is good. All right. Greetings, secret rulers of the dark inner tubes. That's about right. That seems perfect. Time for some nonsense questions. Elaine is a monster. God fucking damn it. This has been previously established. There is a game called Monster Hunter. If Elaine the monster was being hunted in a game called Monster Hunter 5, you took my balls. Now you must pay. What would be the setting and the mechanics? Clearly, I'm being hunted by a pack of wolves. You play as a wolf who's lost its balls in an unfortunate castration incident. I feel like this is a survival horror game for me. Like, for me. Not to say, actually for me.
You are the hunted, though.
There you go. There's the subtitle. Monster Hunter 5, You Are the Hunted. That's the real subtitle. Instead of, you took my balls, now you must pay. He doesn't miss them. He only licks the spot where they used to be, like, twice a day. It's fine. God damn it. In the spirit of Persona spinoffs, what existing game or franchise would you put into a new genre? Some suggestions. Street Fighter, the JRPG. No one wants that. No. I don't know if you saw this. There's a story mode coming for Street Fighter this month, right? And a clip surfaced from it where Cammy is talking to Chun-Li. And she reaches, yeah. Cammy reaches behind herself and pulls out a package. It seems to come from her butt. I'm not sure where. I don't want a JRPG with rules that exist that are like that. It makes me uncomfortable. Thomas was alone, the first person shooter. Mass Effect, the Match 3 puzzle game. Telltale presents Tetris story mode. That's really good.
You say that, however, and I'm pretty sure that you know what I'm about to say. There is going to be a Tetris movie.
The fuck is that going to be? What is it going to be?
It depends if they go down the whole route of, if you played Tetris, certainly on the Game Boy, and if you played Type B, because it had Type A, which was the endless keep going until you run out of lines.
Yes.
Or Type B was, you were set a challenge of clear 35 lines.
Yes.
From various stages of disarray and speed. And if you completed the level 9 with the high 5, so it started all the way at the top, it showed a shuttle taking off.
So it's a space game?
So, well, no. If you play Type A and you get a good enough score, you see a rocket taking off. So I'm guessing the whole point of those blocks is it's supposed to have been fuel or some sort of fuel going into rocket fuel. Yeah, that's what it's about. So
let me tell you the deep, dark secret of what this is about. It's Tetris the movie. The story of how Donald Trump built his wall. I'm just saying. Just putting that out there. It's actually a documentary. I'm trying to think if there's any other like genres into genres here. These are really good. I think Mass Effect has been a Match 3 puzzle game. It's called Puzzle Quest. It's the same.
Well, we're about to have FIFA Soccer story mode, aren't we?
Yeah, we've already had a Spike Lee joint inside of NBA 2K16. So really, the video game industry has become self-aware. We don't have to do this anymore. They'll figure it out by themselves. Let's play a game called One Word Questions. You ready? I'll say the word. You tell me what you think. Okay? Carrot.
Orange.
I was thinking delicious. I like carrots. Jif.
Cream. Peanut. As in bathroom cleaner. Except now it's called Sif. This is a European thing, right? So we have this bathroom cream cleaner that's Sif, C-I-F. And 20 years ago, it was called Jif in the UK, as in J-I-F. And then they, you know, like with Snickers becoming Marathon or whatever it was, the other way around. Yeah, when they released Snickers the first time over here, they released it to coincide with Mars sponsoring the London Marathon, and they called it the Marathon Bar.
Okay.
And people will fight until they're blue in the face to have the right to call it a marathon bar. Just like we don't call it Starburst, we call it Opal Fruits. Because that's what they used to be called. Yep.
Holy shit, I need you to compile a list of some of this stuff for me, because this is blowing. Opal Fruits is amazing.
So we had this thing called Jif, and then they did this whole advertising campaign of, we took Jif name to all the other countries in Europe, and you saw basically people trying to pronounce it in their native languages, and it was like Hif, Yif.
Oh, wow.
So all we did was we went in line with all them, and that's why it's called Sif now. But in my head, it's called Jif.
And for me, that word is a brand of peanut butter here. And it's the first thing my brain goes, peanut butter? Where? I get very excited when I read that word. I like Jif peanut butter. I prefer it to Skippy. Fight me about it, bro. I'm saying that to the internet, not you. And then the last Sun one Pat
is all we have over here, really.
Okay. I mean, I buy the store brand of, like, Wegmans brand is also very good here for my grocery store brand. But, like, of the name brand, peanut butter is Jif was always my favorite. The last word is props. Props?
Stage?
I think planes. The little thing on the front of planes.
Okay, propellers.
Yeah, that's you know, I don't know. That's
as opposed to props to my boy over there.
Yeah, know, I
sound totally white saying that.
I'm like the whitest white kid ever. I can't be like, yo, props to my boy. It's not gonna work. We're not gonna do that. He also talks a bit about we talked about what a Mirror's Edge TV show would look like. He's got some ideas here. And then lastly, on the topic of TV, Justin, not me, the British one, has never seen You Can't Do That on Television. What the hell, Britain? That was a cornerstone of my childhood, along with Voltron, Monkey Magic / Monkey, and Transformers. What is wrong with your television networks? We've already discussed it. Fuck Sky TV. Right? I mean...
Even Sky TV was only a thing from the, I want to say the 90s, probably when The Simpsons started as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was one of the flagships to try and get people to buy Sky TV. Because obviously everyone was going, why do I need 50 channels? I don't even watch the four I have.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And then we went to 5 channels.
Yo, watch out. yeah, it's basically British TV is terrible. Is that what we're... I'm just kidding. All right.
But we gave you the Teletubbies.
Nothing is more horror-fueled than those motherfuckers. Like, I am afraid of them. Every time a GIF pops up with one of them, I'm like, I have to close my browser now. I feel like
I have no problem with the Teletubbies. I get freaked out by the sun that's a baby's face in it.
That's wrong! Yeah! I'm gonna have nightmares now. Oh, all right. We have another email from Chintz. Hi, Radcast. Glad to hear the podcast is back and the invitation-only podcasts are great. Just finished episode 9. Can't wait to hear episode 10. Sadly, it is not a moose antler. It's called a moose knuckle. Not the first person to correct it. Makes me giggle every time I read it. Because envision, Google moose knuckle, not with the word. Google a moose's knuckle. Look at a picture of a moose's knuckle and then envision male camel toe. It's there. You can see it. And so the entire time I spent in Alaska, I just kept thinking about this. I wish I didn't know that. Yeah. Also, since I'm an episode behind, I'm not sure if anyone ever told you the correct name for... That's the correct name for male camel toe, yes. Anyway, here's the reason for the email. It's question time. How do you guys / girls feel about console exclusive DLC? Oh, I don't mind if it's timed. Like, oh, it's coming out on Xbox 2 weeks before or a month before. I care if it never comes to another. I hate it if it never comes to the other console. Because come on, man. Why you do this? You know what? This is the equivalent, the digital equivalent of pre-order this game at every outlet to get all the different cool costumes.
What about Soul Calibur 3? If you bought the Nintendo version, you had Link as a character.
Soul Calibur 2. It was Spawn, Link, and Heihachi.
All right. Now, where 3 had Yoda and Darth Vader, depending
that
on whether you...
4. 3 was the only one that was fine. 4. Oh,
whoa, curse you in your knowledge.
I liked Soul Calibur a lot for a while. I got you. Yeah, that was all... I hated that shit. It's fucking stupid. First of all, I should be able to have Yoda fight Darth Vader. What the fuck is this shit? That's all wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah.
How you do that? Also, why can't Link fight Spawn? Talk about my childhood. Like, let's do this. Let's go. I was very upset by that. It's less of a problem now. It's more like it's a timed exclusive map or whatever. But there was the 360 generation was filthy with that shit. It was awful. If you could have a Claptrap from Borderlands or R2-D2 as a robot pet, which would you pick?
Fuck.
R2.
Yeah, Claptrap, I think
because Claptrap thinks he's funny, but sooner or later, you would be annoyed by him going, yes. Hey, look, I'm dancing.
Also, R2 is an actual helpful robot. He solves problems.
To not be a dick.
Yeah, I mean, he has his moments, okay? He has emotions. He's like a teenager. He's like a robot teenager. But he wants to be helpful. The Claptrap is just in your fucking way all the time. And he can't go upstairs. He's useless. Although I would like to watch him dance. Also,
did you want to buy the Claptrap model?
Which one are we talking
about? I mean, there was a radio control version, wasn't there?
Yes, deeply, and the GameStop by my house still has it. I have to walk away free. It's still $400.
Do you feel like you're in a Wayne's World movie, looking at the guitar, going,
yes.
One day she will be mine.
Mine. One day when the bargain bin price is deep enough. Yeah, because at the time, I just wanted to harass the cat with that thing. Now the dog would just eat it, right? But like, I wanted to attack the cat. I wanted to have it creep into the bathroom where she sleeps and like talk.
just get one of the BB-8 Sphero droids.
I want one so bad. Not the cheap one, the $150 one. I want an expensive one. Caitlin was like, Mommy, that's an awesome robot. He rolls. I'm like, I know. He's the coolest.
They see me rolling.
Speaking of two white kids on a podcast.
Hey, I thought I got my voice pretty deep for that.
You did, actually. You nailed that. I really don't like giving you props for it, though. Oh, I use the word props. My boy. All right, one more thing. Also, end this sentence in the worst way. I can't believe it's not.
Butter.
That's the worst way you could think of. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
No, but yeah. That's because that's the brand of margarine over here. And it's actually called I Can't Believe It's Not Butter.
It's really bad. We have it, too. It's disgusting. Fabio, I want to say, used to be the spokesperson for that product with his long golden locks.
I remember there was an episode of The Vicar of Dibley and the dippy girl on there, she's like, you know that stuff that's called I Can't Believe It's Not Butter? Well, I can't believe it's not butter. And you know the stuff that's not I Can't Believe It's Not Butter? Well, I can't believe that that's not butter. And also that the stuff that's not I Can't Believe It's Not Butter is not I Can't Believe It's Not Butter. And it's like the logic makes sense,
it hurts.
Yes.
It hurts. It actually physically causes you pain because I think the other half of my brain that didn't get killed earlier just died. So that's fine. I can't believe it's not moose knuckle.
Consensual.
All I can think of. Oh, that's not. God damn it, Justin. Yeah, I can't believe it's not moose knuckle is all I can think of. I don't know why, because I keep looking at the words moose knuckle and giggling. All right, one more. This one is from Wheelchair Ninja, one of my favorite people on the whole internet. Greetings, Radcastians. Today's quasi-relevant question. If you have any job from any video game, what would it be? I mean, World Saver is not really a job. It actually has to be a job in a video. Like,
well, Galaxy Saver, yeah.
Yeah, like Commander Shepard would be a fucking cool job, except for all the world-ending shit.
And the constantly being shot at and...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's complications, right? I like Ryu's job of I wander around the world and fight guys. It's a pretty good job.
And go with me here.
Okay.
Tom Nook.
That mother... Oh.
People are just paying you bells for days.
He's actually the world's worst gangster, right? Like that fucking sweater vest that he wears, right? He is the Tony Soprano of the Animal Crossing world. He knows a guy. You owe him some money. He's going to send his people. I'm kind of into that, though. I would love
that. Would you go for... What's the game with the farm that you were getting
Stardew
into?
Valley.
There you go.
Would I be a farmer in Stardew Valley? I would... would I live on a farm that I had to deal with myself? See, there's a lot of poop involved in farming. It's a lot of manure and the cleaning of, I don't know. No, I'm good without them. No, I don't want to make my own mayonnaise. It's not a life I want to live. Like, I don't want to make my own mayonnaise. Man, I want to be the announcer in Trackmania. That dude gets into it.
I mean, if you're going down announcers, I'd love to have Michael Buffer's voice and then just, be able to just walk up to people and go, let's get ready to rumble.
So basically, I want to be Ryu, but with that voice so I can announce my own fights that I'm about to start.
Round one.
What do you mean you're going to start a fight with me? It's round one, motherfucker. Let's do this. Yeah, all right. There it is. I kind of like being the wanderer who fights guys in bars. It's a pretty good job. This is the dumbest question. It's also fantastic. Today's ridiculous question. Who would win in a battle, Charlie Sheen or an army of angry beavers? How high is Charlie Sheen? Is he wearing the cuff that puts him on the home arrest? There are questions here. What's an army of beavers? Forget it.
How many do they conscript?
Yeah,
are they armed? Beavers with lasers?
No,
are they zombievers?
That's horrifying to me because they bite. Okay, the beaver. All right, we're going to set some ground rules. I can't believe I'm saying these words out loud. The beavers are. I can't do it. The beavers
are
unarmed.
I'm sorry, can I distract you even more by going, nice beaver?
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking in my head. The beavers are unarmed is, I want that quote on the back of a t-shirt. Like, it's. Anyway.
No beavers were harmed in the making of this episode.
All right, so the beavers are unarmed, but how many is an army? Like, what are we? 10?
Well, you could draw the line at 10 and say it's a small mercenary force.
Okay, yeah, it's a merc force of unarmed beavers, a guerrilla force of beavers, if you will. Christ. Hey, Elaine, what are you going to be doing on Saturday night? Talking about beavers and Charlie Sheen. What else?
Yeah, considering how many beavers make up an army.
Is there, I can't believe we're having this. You know how there's like a gaggle of geese and a murder of crows? Is there a word for a group of beavers? Is that?
There must be.
I
will look at these words while you're
elaborating. I'll continue to set the ground rules of this interaction. So the beavers are unarmed. There are 10 beavers. They're average size beavers, but they're well organized.
Effectively is known as.
Is there a word? They're a collective
colony.
Okay.
A colony of beavers, it says here.
So round one fight, colony of beavers versus Charlie Sheen. All right, so there's 10 beavers.
let me give you some more words, though, because I know how you like collective nouns.
They're great.
So a murder of crows, a flush of ducks.
Excuse me, a flush? Okay.
Yeah, as in like you'd have a set in poker.
Okay. All right. I'm into that. I was thinking toilet.
both contain water.
Yeah. That's why I made that association. Anyway, moving on. Are there more? A colony of beavers.
A shrewdness of apes.
Really? You thought they would? Yeah. You think they would have a better word than that for them? A murder of crows is still my favorite because I get to make the obvious joke when there's two crows on a fence that it's an attempted murder. And it makes me laugh every time.
Baboons, there's a couple, because you would possibly have heard of a troop of baboons.
I have heard of that one, yes.
You may have heard of a congress of baboons.
That's way more.
You will probably not have heard of a flange of baboons.
Do they know what a flange is when they use this word? Animal collective nouns are my favorite thing on to Google.
There's a disclaimer saying the history of this item is very interesting. Read this.
No, note to self, I'm going to do the associated reading. Is there one for snakes?
A battery of barracudas.
Okay, play on snakes. Words, very well appreciated there. I'll enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot. Battery of barracudas.
A rumba of rattlesnakes.
Please. Who did this? They're the best person. I need to hug them, please. Who named that? Oh, is there a cha-cha of something?
Raft of sea otters?
What?
A shiver of sharks?
Oh my god, is that real? Please tell me It's real.
Right. It's got a family group of snakes is a brood, but then it says a nest or not of snakes.
They're like not. That seems appropriate.
And then it has a den, a bed, a pit, or a slither of snakes.
Yep, slither of snakes. I'm into it. All right, let's work this back. We have, in the red corner, a colony of angry beavers. They're angry, unarmed, but very well organized. There's 10 of them. Charlie Sheen, he's got to be so high right now. Otherwise, like, why else would you fight?
He was on Graham Norton last week, and he seemed barely sober.
Yeah, there you go. So he's like, he's had some of the drugs. He's ready to fight some beavers. Does he have a weapon? 10 beavers is a lot.
He's got the tiger blood.
Let's give him a cricket bat, though. Like, I think it's funny. It resembles their tails. It seems fair. I don't know. Flat. Okay. I feel like the beavers win this fight, man. I feel like they chew off one of his legs and beat him.
I would say beavers are definitely going to win. Because they're just going to overwhelm him and they've got their big teeth.
And then they just, the way that I see it is that Charlie Sheen is so fucked up, he's barely human, right? So they're just going to think he's a tree. And they're just going to start chewing off pieces and building a dam out of it. And they're pretty pissed off. He must have done something to make them mad. How do you anger a beaver? Don't answer that question. Just don't answer that question.
I'm sorry. I'm already thinking of the whole moment in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yep. Okay.
You don't want to rub it the wrong way.
How do you?
What's that? The Coalition of Coalition for the Liberation of Itinerant Tree Dwellers. That's it.
That's it. That movie is still super good. And
And they're an offshoot of Liberate Apes Before Imprisoning Apes.
Oh, I need a silhouette battle of Charlie Sheen holding a cricket bat against 10 angry beavers that are like well organized and stacked up in a particular way. I feel like the beavers are gonna win.
I think the beavers are definitely going to win.
Their beavers are going to kill. So how many beavers die in the process of taking out Charlie Sheen? I mean, at least the first one's going to bite into him and get such a massive dose of heroin to its face. It's going to just, you know.
Yeah, the beavers only need one lucky bite. You know, someone can just, you know, nick the carotid artery and game over.
I was thinking like, you know, castrate him. But yes, they could murder him in one flying beaver bite. That's true. Yep. Charlie Sheen.
Maybe the beavers are they can evolve into Mecha Beaver.
How did they get robot parts?
Yeah, they just, you know, they have a couple for the legs. It's like the Constructicons in Transformers.
I'm envisioning a Power Rangers scenario in which the beavers morph and then link together to form Mecha Beaver. And one of them just rotates so that it's the weapon. Its tail is just used to beat people. This went down a really dark path. Now every time I see a beaver, I'm going to laugh really, really, really hard. Hey, Elaine, how was your Saturday? It was rad. I talked about Mecha Beaver.
I think, yeah, if you just lead with, I talked about beaver for 20 minutes, connotations.
I feel like I have to trademark a porn game in VR called Mecha Beaver. Like, I feel like I have to. I don't know what that game is, but then don't write in about suggestions. Okay, Angela, as usual, when you write in a question, it somehow leads to complete and utter fucking nonsense in the best way. We also got a quick one from Roxy. Did we buy anything in the Steam sale for ourselves or others? I got a bunch of tiny games. Like, I bought like $35 worth of small games. Stuff like that's been on my wish list forever, but nothing really notable. I keep dancing around buying Doom again on PC, and then I'm like, no, why?
Elaine.
What?
You know how DeviantArt can be a brilliant source of...
What the fuck did you do? What have you done?
Someone's already drawn Mecha Beaver.
Excuse me. Is it a vagina or is it an actual beaver?
No, it's a bit like the Technodrome, but with, you know, with a beaver head. I've got to show.
Oh my god! This is the best day I've ever had, like in a while. I was like,
I'm gonna send you the link so you can put it as the show.
Now I had one picked out, but this is way better. I you know, I was having a day and I feel so much better now. All right, folks, that about does it for episode 12 of the Radcast. We're gonna leave it on Mecha Beaver. If you need to find us on the internet for some fucking ridiculous reason, visit someothercastle.com. You can email us at radcast@someothercastle.com, Twitter, someothercastle, and Twitch, the SOC stream. Follow, like, subscribe. You know the fucking, I don't know, the drill. And go listen to any of the other fine podcasts by our friends over at Open Forum Radio. You can Google. There is an Open Forum Radio podcast and a bunch of other podcasts that hang out in that network, and they're good people. All right, that's... I'm sorry, Justin. And thank you for staying up late for Mecha Beaver.
For science and learning collective nouns.
I like learning collective nouns with you. They're especially awesome with a British accent on the other end of them. So there's that.
Well, once again, I'm here for missions on pronunciations.
Oh, gosh. Once again, thank you. And folks, we will catch you on the next episode.
With that, you should be able to hear the crisp, nice, clear noise of the Yeti.
It's good, right? It's like, hey, how you doing? Ah.
And none of the screaming laptop noise.
The hell sounds coming from your internal laptop microphone when I listened back and did those outtakes made me laugh out loud.
it's when I was there for 5 minutes going, I've unplugged the mic, and you're like, yeah, it makes no difference. I've plugged the mic in. Oh, that's better.
That sounds like I was editing that, and I'm like, I'm listening to it. I'm like, I swear I've heard those noises actually in Doom when I was playing. I guarantee whatever sound is coming from that microphone, that internal microphone, is the sound that cat was making when Karf made that sound awful, like horror noises. I visited that cat today. She's such a delight.
Despite her strange purr.
She has a really horrifying sound that comes from her face hole, yeah. Like, it's weird. She laid on me. She's also rather fat now, and she laid on me, and I was like, oh, I'm slowly dying. But you're warm, and you're making weird sounds, and I'm kind of afraid to move you for fear of the hell demon that lives inside. So.
And the pictures I've seen, Ali thinks she's slowly dying.
She's going to kill us all. She's going to kill us. Did you see that second picture I posted on Facebook of her sitting in Don's lap with the hatred directed at me holding the camera?
It was Don and Caitlin.
Yeah. Caitlin goes to me, Mommy, she loves me. I'm like, no. No. Actually, no. But she's purring.
Don is her safe space.
He's the only one she actually likes. But he's often accompanied by Caitlin going, oh, Allie, I love you. And I can just hear the inside of that cat shattering into a million pieces. Like, when she figures out how to open the gates of hell, we're all screwed, basically. Damn them all. Damn them.
At least they haven't got opposable thumbs.
I'm really glad she's not one of those six-toed cats that kind of does have that opposable digit, because if she had that face and those digits, I would never sleep. I would be so afraid she would find a way into my room and smother me in my sleep. Yep. She scares me.
You know how sometimes someone sends you like an email or a text message or something and you don't quite read it. Your eyes play play havoc with what your brain is telling you the letters are.
Yes.
So when you sent me that note, the email that says notes, no matter how many times I look at it, I keep reading noodles. they're not even similar words. How does that happen?
How did we go from... And then every time I hear noodles, my brain doesn't auto-associate with instant ramen. I don't know why, but it's because I ate so much of it in college that when I see the word noodles, I think cup of noodles. I think instant ramen. Like I, so now my vision is that I just sent you an emoji of instant ramen in your head. Like, all you, like that's all you saw there. That's kind of amazing. Noodles. That's going to be the stupidest inside joke now. I'm just going to start DMing you noodles in the middle of the day.
And I'll reply with a picture of the Gourmet King.
Oh, no. Stop saying words that are going to make me want to do bad things. You have to not do that.
You've already bought your new pseudo-persona game.
Jesus Christ. Like, we must
be coming to that shortly.
I haven't started it yet, so we can talk about it now and then. But I've seen enough screenshots where I'm like, oh God, what have I done? Like, no. So don't expect to hear that I lost my job or took 2 weeks off and are just playing that game in my underwear in my living room. Just expect that story to happen in about 2 months.
This is why I don't have my iPad for notes during a show. Because you can put that thing on silent.
It'll still make noises.
It's still going to be.
It's such an asshole. Why? This is why I like put mine in DND or I turn off all notifications. Because it's like, I can't have it. I used to leave it in my room to read books or do like play a game or something before bed. And it would like chatter at me all night. I'm like,
hey. You know how somebody sends me messages when I'm in like the middle of a deep sleep and then I send them a snotty reply back that goes, could that not wait till morning?
I always feel like, my first thought is like people operate like I do. They put their device away or put it in D&D. I did not consider that maybe other people don't do that. Sorry.
Prior to Radcast happening, when there was the group message channel.
Yes.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I never had sleep.
We would be popping off, and you'd be like, "I just want to sleep." Hides phone, sets it on fire, flushes it down the toilet, still making noises.
Oh no! I have the notifications come through on the phone as well.
Oh my god.
And if I'm on the laptop, you've got the laptop, the iPad, and the phone all chime in at different intervals because they get the notifications slightly faster on one to another.
Oh God, that is my nightmare. Like I've had a lot of nightmares, but the notification sounds on like five different devices at once, but offset just a little is a horror show for me. I can't.
Well, how annoying is this, right? If you sit next to your colleague. And you've been quite happily using your Android phone for a version of Android for 4 years.
Right.
And you've got the same message notification. And then they get one.
Oh, no. No.
And they don't have the notification on loud. They have it on barely audible.
Oh, no. But
they
do
get messages on it. And you can hear this. And you go through that like, is that my phone?
Is that my phone? Is that? And then you pick up your phone. It's not your phone. You're like, God damn it! I have to change every sound on my phone now because of you.
It's part of my daily struggle.
For me.
What did you just do? Your mic suddenly went a lot louder.
Oh, sorry. Hey.
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 It sounded like you opened a door and suddenly you were closer to the microphone.
No, I might have leaned into it too far. Uh-huh. Too
leaning close. In, giving me that deep voice.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, girl. It's reminding me of a message I got on the Twitter earlier and I replied with, sounds like something I say after sex.
I laughed out loud at that response. We are children. Actual, legitimate children. So did you?
Was it you said something like, "Yeah, don't worry, I'm still in." Or
yeah, you were. I love you. I wasn't even expecting that response. God. Damn.
Sometimes you don't catch a girl off guard. Surprise!
Okay. We're gonna.
Do you want to deal with Scott's question?
Wait. Did Scott ask a question? Oh, I think he asked about He asked about your situation, didn't he?
How about that Brexit, huh?
I think
that was a thing that happened, and I think it will be a while before anything of any significant difference happens, and you know, it may not go ahead.
Yeah, there's all
there are several clauses. There's one that says because of the fact that it wasn't a proper majority, it was negligible, that they might have to call a second vote, in which point all the people that have just realized that they voted leave and that has negative issues.
That's my favorite part of this. There was a tweet from quite a while back. I never thought the puma would bite my face, said the woman who voted for the Pumas Biting Faces party. Like, this people, and it might not have been a puma, but the point is still there. Like, there were people who were interviewed after who voted leave, and they're like, I just voted to make a point. I didn't think it would actually happen. And I just.
It's all over the news. People being interviewed saying, oh, yeah, I voted leave, but I didn't think it'd actually win.
I literally, like, to make light of a rough situation, I literally just put my head in my hands and I was like, oh, God, sounds are happening. Okay.
The funny thing is, there's a place in Cornwall where they've gone, well, we get a lot of EU subsidies and for tourism. can we protect that? It's like, no.
The whole point. And then there was a thing about people Googling what the EU was.
After several million hits on Google for what is the effect it has, which was most likely after people had voted.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe should have. So I was as an American who's living in a political time of turmoil over here, I was just like, well, it's nice to know that we're not alone. That the stupid is everywhere in the world. It's okay. So yeah, I'm interested to see how that shakes out. My husband's actually kind of interested in it because he does international taxation. So it has some obvious implications for entities that he deals with. So I find myself interested.
And you're interested to know how much money you can save when I import things for you.
The pound did kind of take a shit in the last couple of days. So it turns out that this benefits me, but I'm still sorry. Like, I'm not making light of a bad situation, but we are, because it's some of the castle and that's what we do.
So. I think it's something like 1.49 to the dollar, whereas the days when it was nearly 2 to 1.
It was almost 2 to 1 at one point when the Amiibo thing was real dark. It got real dark there for a while. All right, with that said, we're gonna roll out Mecha Beaver style.